Okay, B'siyata D'Shmaya, today's daf is Lamed Hey in Maseches Erevin. We are going to begin with the Mishnah all the way on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, 10 lines from the bottom. The Mishnah is going to discuss an Erev that was trapped in a tower, and that's going to bring us into the question of an Erev that's trapped in a tower. Is it considered accessible by the fact that you could knock down the tower? That's going to bring us to the Sugya of Binyan and Stira B'Kalim, and other halachos that are connected to the Erev in that type of situation. The Mishnah Lamed Hey Amud Aleph is going to discuss an Erev that is just on the edge of the Tchum. We're talking now about Eruvei Tchumin, and it's on the edge of the Tchum, and how could you consider it inside of the Tchum, even if it's exactly on the edge up until where a person is allowed to go. That is going to bring us to the halachos of a Safek Erev, and all of Lamed Hey Amud Beis is going to be Shas Yedias about Safek. So let's begin Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Nasnu B'Migdol, the Erev Tchumin was put into a tower. The Ibeit HaMafteach, and the Mafteach was lost. Mafteach was lost. Hareze Erev, it's still an Erev. Rabbi Lezer, I mean, that's what Tanakam says. Rabbi Lezer says you have to be able to access the Erev. If you can't access the Erev, then in such a case, then it's going to be a problem. So we need to analyze what's the machlokas. Says the Gemara, he's in one place and the Erev is in another place. So how could it be that the Tanakam says it's a good Erev? The halacha is that in order for the Erev to work, you need to be in the same area. You need to be in the same rishus and to be able to access it. Says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Darim Tivai Hacha B'Migdol Shel Levein Maskinen. We're talking about bricks that are piled up. The bricks are piled up, but they're not, they surround the Erev, but they're not cemented. V'Rav Meir Hi De'Amar Poiches L'Chatchila. And Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to open it. Rashi explains that there isn't any shaila over here of knocking down a building, because the bricks weren't attached. The shaila here is of muktzah. Are you allowed to move away the muktzah to get to something? Disnan. And that's another Mishnah. Bayis shemiluhu peros. If you have a house that's full of fruits, sasum, v'nifchas, noitum makom apechas, you're allowed to remove the fruits to get inside, even though those fruits were muktzah on yamtiv. However, that will only be if there was already an opening that was made, as Gemara said, nifchas, that there was an opening in the wall beforehand. Rabbi Meir Omer, poiches v'noitel l'chatchila. Rabbi Meir says, no, you don't need any opening beforehand in the wall. In such a case, you're allowed to just simply take away the wall to take the peros. In other words, the shita of Rabbi Meir is that we're not concerned about opening an area that is muktzah. So too, over here, the halacha is that we're not going to be concerned about muktzah. It says, Gemara v'amar avnachem ba'ado amar shmul ba'avira delivni. The Mishnah in Beitza is talking about levenim, bricks that have air between them. So if you have a house that's built with bricks that don't have any teeth between them, so then in such a case, Rabbi Meir says is halacha. But if there is teeth between them, so then in such a case, halacha is going to be problematic. Now that doesn't seem to be consistent with the case of the Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about, it was in a migdal. A migdal, it was entirely enclosed. Says Gemara, says, all right, hachanayim bavir delivni. You have to say that it wasn't entirely closed. Says the Gemara, v'amr, Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yomtev amru. Rabbi Zeira says the only time you're allowed to take apart those bricks is in regards to Yom Tov, aval lo b'Shabbos. But on Shabbos it will be Aser. Again, the issue over here is not going to be an issue of Binyan, Rashi explains, or Soser, but rather the issue is that on Shabbos we're machmir to consider these bricks as muktzah. When it comes to Yom Tov, it's not going to be a problem if it's helping you get to food, because you have the heter of Ochel Nefesh. So, but on Shabbos, it's going to be problematic. Says the Gemara, Hachanami b'yomtiv. So you could say that our mission is talking about a yomtiv. Says the Gemara, Yachy, I need the Ketani Allah, Rabbi Lezer, Amir, in Be'ir Avad Eruve Erev. If the Mafteach was lost in the city, then the Erev is a good one. Vim Basada Avad Ein Eruve Erev. But if you lost in the field, it's not going to be a good Erev. Vibi Yomtif, and if it's in Yomtif, Mali Be'ir, Mali Basada. Why does it make a difference between whether it took place in the city, in the field? You'll be able to take it in on Yomtif because the heter of carrying on Yomtif for Ochel Nefesh. So therefore is Mashma that we're talking about in Shabbos. Answers the Gemara on top of Amid Heim and Al Tisurim Echzer of Achik Tani. This is the way you should read the Mishnah. Nasnu b'migdal v'nol b'fanav v'ibed mafteach hareze erev. If you put in a migdal and the mafteach is lost, it's an erev. B'med v'ar ma'amurim, when do we say that? B'yomtif. Avol b'shabbos ein ruve erev. Then on Shabbos it's not going to be an erev. But nimtza mafteach bein b'ir bein besada ein ruve erev. And on Shabbos, if you find it, the mafteach, it's not going to work because you can't carry it. It depends on where you are. Why is it that if the Erev was in the city, so then in such a case, even though it's locked, it's going to serve as a good Erev, even on Shabbos? Ki Rabbi Shimon, to Amar, as Rabbi Shimon says, Echa Gagas, Vecha Chatzeres, Vecha Karpifos, Rishus Achas, Hein Lekelem, Sheshavsu Bisochan, that you're allowed to carry from one of those places to the next. So since you could carry from those places to the next, then you're going to be able to bring from the Migdal, from those Rishuyos, since they're all considered one Rishus. So if the Mafteach is found in those areas, that's going to be okay. Basada, but if the Mafteach is in the field, Ein Eruve Erev, Ki Rabbanan, that's the Shita of the Rabbanan, that say that it's prohibited to take from the Gagos, Chatzeros, or Karfifos, and you're not going to be able to take from the Sada as well, the Erev, and your Erev is not going to work. Okay, so that was the explanation that we had of our Mishnah. According to the opinion of Rav and Shmuel, our Mishnah is talking about when he was Ma'arev B'yomtiv, and he put his Erev in the Migdal Shelevenim that weren't attached. And the Tanakama and Rabbi Eliezer are disagreeing if you're allowed to take down the Migdal. So the Gemara now says, Rabbi Rav Yosef Tarmi Tavayu, Hacha B'Migdal Shel Eitzas Kinan. Rabbi Rav Yosef has a different shot. They say, and here's where we get to Sugya Bina Mishnir V'Kelim, that the Erev was stuck in a tower of wood. Demar Savar, one sheet holds Klihu, that we look at the wood as a Kli, Ve'ein Binyan B'Kelim, Ve'ein Stira B'Kelim. Here, the Stam Gemara seems to say that there's no problem in breaking down the Kli over here. The Rishonim deal with this in Masechta Shabbos. Umar Savar Oyelu, and the other says, no, we look at the wooden tower as an Ohel, and since it's an Ohel, you can't break it on Shabbos. So the question is, do you look at it as a Kli, or is you look at it as an Ohel? Suggests the Gemara that this gets involved with a big Machlokas Tanoim in Tahar. So Upluksa Tahani Tanoi, and that's going to be dependent on the following Machlokas Tanoim. This not Hikish Algabe Shido Tevul Migdal. If you hit with your fist on top of the Shida Tevul Migdal, and you move the Shida Tevul Migdal, and you yourself are Tameh, Tmein. So then in such a case, it makes it Tameh, because it was hit by a Zav, that was Tameh. Nevertheless, Rabbi Chaim Rabbi Shimon Mitari, Rabbi Chaim Rabbi Shimon say, even though you pushed the Yitar, analyze the Gemara, my lab alka mifli, what's the machloikis? Mar Savar Klihu, the one mandamer holds at the Migdal, that's the size of 40 saws considered a kli. Umar Savar Oyelhu, and the other one says that's an oil. So if it's an oil, so then it's not Makabal Tuma, because it's 40 saw, it's not Makabal Tuma, it's considered Mechuber Lakarka. If you hold it still a kli, even though it's 40 saw, so then in such case, if you push it, it's Makabal Tuma. Amar Abaye, Abaye didn't like this pshat. Vitizbara, is that correct? Vatanya, didn't we learn all of Anisait, if you push an oil, Nitame. Then you can make the Ohel Tameh. Kli ve'ein aniseit, if you push the Kli but it doesn't move, so then in such a case, Tahar. So what do we see? The Tumas Heseit is not dependent on whether it's a Binyan or not. Even a Binyan is going to be subject to Tumah.
What's the Svara that moving it creates?
That, oh, this is called Tumas Heseit. Tumas Heseit means that just like Zav is Metame B'Moshe, when he sits on something, when he moves it, so he impacted it, so that's also Metame. Uktani Seifa, and we learned in a Seifa, another Kasha, V'im Hayu Nisotin, if you pushed it from a place, Tmeim, it's going to be Tameh, even according to Rabbi Nechemiah and Rabbi Shimon. So we see that the reason why Shita Teva and Migdal is going to be Tar is not because it's considered a Binyan. Because in all cases, Binyan could become Tameh with Hesed. Zaklau. Nisek Machmas Koichai. The only Shaila, if you push in Oel, is whether the Hasata, the movement was because of your Koach, and then in such case it's Tameh. Machmas Ra'ada. But if it was done due to shaking something else, Tahar. Knows if you shook something else that shook it, so then it's going to be Tahar. Bottom line is, we see that shaking an Oel will also be Metamit. So we see that when it comes to even Oel, the halacha is that it's subject to Tamei. So obviously then, our Shaila of our Gemara is not going to be dependent on this Machlokis Hatanoim. Everybody holds that even an Oel is dependent on Tumas Hesed, and therefore the question of whether you look at a Migdal Shel Eitz as an Oel or as a Kli has nothing to do with the Shaila of moving an Oel for Taharis. El Amar Abaye. Abaye says the Mishnah in Zavim has nothing to do with the Machlokis of Rabbi Yosef. Dekule Alma Hesed Machmas Kofcho Tomei. Everybody holds a Hesed becomes Machmas Kofcho, even an Oel is Tomei. Machmas Ra'ada Tor. The Mishnah in Zavim is talking about if it was Ra'ada, it moved due to his koach. Mar Savar have a hesed, Mar Savar lo have a hesed. So that's the machlokas. Either way, if you're going to learn the Mishnah, the machlokas by hesed, one way or the other, if you're going to learn it like the Shita of Abaye, or you're going to learn it like any other explanation, at the end of the day has nothing to do with the machlokis that we had in regards to opening the Migdal Shel Eitz. So the Gemara says, Umas Nisa Amai Mukminullah. So how are you going to learn our Mishnah? What's the Nekudas HaMachlokis in our Mishnah, whether the Migdal Shel Eitz is considered accessible or not? Okay, so says the Gemara, Abaye V'Rava Darmi Tavayu B'minol V'Kotar B'misna Askinon. We're talking about a migdal that's closed by a lock or a knot. Uboy sekuna lemifsekei, and you need a knife to open up. Tanakama saver l'kareb yosi. The Tanakama holds like Reb Yosi. The Amar kol akelim nitalim b'shabbes chutz mi meisar agadol. You're allowed to get a knife to open it up in general, but if we're talking about a meisar hagadol, a large knife, v'yasei mechareisha, or you're talking about a plow, all of those things are going to be mukza. So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that you're allowed to be metalta a stam sakin in order to take the eruv out, and therefore it's going to be mutter. The only problem is going to be the large knife. Rabbi Lezer savalak Rabbi Nechemiah. Rabbi Lezer says that you're stuck. He holds like Rabbi Nechemiah. The Amar afilu talas afilu tarvid. Ain nitalin el tzarach tashmish. And the shita of Rabbi Nechemiah is ain kli nital el tzarach davar nital. You're only allowed to use a kli for its general purpose. So you're not allowed to use the davar muksa for anything else. Therefore, since a knife is normally not used to open up knots, so since it was knotted into this wooden piece is not 40 sub. Previously, the Gemara wanted to get involved in Oel. No, in regards to Oel, there are no shilas. Everybody agrees that it could be considered an Oel if it's a 40 sub. However, the shiloh over here is whether we consider the knot as something that you could actually open, and that's dependent on whether you could use a knife to open it. The Tanakama says that you can, and the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer is that you cannot. There is a very, very important Rashi over here that Rashi feels the need to explain. In Dibra Maskul Boy Sakina, Rashi feels the need to explain how you could cut something open on Shabbos. What about the fact that you're cutting something?
Why is it an issue for food or something like that?
Very good. So that's what Rashi quotes from Beitz Alam and Alpha and Beitz. Chosama shabekelim matrim afkiv echotech. And not only is in regards to a kli, even an ohel, it's going to be mutter. In a case in which it looks like you're opening a door. And therefore, the halacha is, A, you're allowed to open up in a small thing because you're getting to food, and many Rishonim explain that in such a case they didn't make the gzeira of Korea where you're being makalkel, And Rashi then adds, even for an ohel, there might be times that it's mutter. Taisus and Dibar Maskel Bai Sakina concludes our sugya by saying that that's only by a knot. But if it's going to be a full-fledged piece of wood, because the Gemara said it was a knot, if it was going to be a full-fledged kli that's wood or mateches, then in such a case we hold yesh binyan v'stira b'kelim. So this is a famous shita of Tosas, that even though the Gemara above said ein binyan v'stira b'kelim, Tosas learns that that's only in very particular instances. Tosas in Shabbos says by a mustaki, only those pieces of wood that were attached together, but otherwise there is a rule of binyan v'stira b'kelim. Let's begin the next mission. Eskagel chutz l'tchum. If you have an Erev that rolled outside the tchum, nafal of gal, or you have a pile of stones that fell on top of it, oh nisraf, or it got burnt, or truma v'nitmei, so this truma became tamei mibayid yoyim, all of this happened when still day, so now the Erev is not edible.
Before
Shabbos, exactly, ain't Erev. Mishecha sheicha, but if it happened after it got dark, hareza Erev, then in such a case, no problem, because once there was Bein HaShmashos, the Erev was accessible, then you don't have to worry about what happens after. Im Safek. What happens if it's a Safek, and this is going to be the subject of the rest of our daf, what happens if there's a Safek of whether the Erev became inaccessible after Shabbos had began or before Shabbos had began? So here we have a Machlekes. Remei Rabbi Yehuda Amar Hareze Chamor Gomel. This is a fascinating expression. It's a horse camel. In other words, it's a Safek. One part of it says it's kosher, one part of it says that it's treif. So just like a chamar gomel is neither a chamar nor a gomel, so too, you can't say that it's kosher. Rav Yosef Rav Shimon Amrum, safek erev kosher. Rav Yosef Rav Shimon Amrum, mekel. So chamar gomel means it's the ultimate safek, you're stuck. And for some reason, Rav Yosef Rav Shimon says it's kosher, we're going to discuss why. Amr Rav Yosef, avtumus heyid mishum chamisha zkenim al safek erev, shek kosher. Avtumus testified that a safek erev is kosher. Skalgu chutz l'tchum. Amr Rava says the Heilig Gemara, it's only if it rolled out more than four amas. So then, in such a case, if you have the Erev that rolled out more than 2,000 amas, the maximum that you have to put your Erev is 2,000 amas away from your house. So it rolled out, but just more than 2,003 amas away from your house. So then, in such a case, the Gemara says, then in such a case, then it will be not a problem. Only if it's more than 4 amos. Why? Because after your 2,000 amos, you have another 4 amos. So it's considered as if it's still within your 2,000 amos. If you put your Erev 2,000 amos away from your house, you have another 4 amos. So that's going to be the heter. Nafal of Gal, we learned in our Mishnah, that if stones fell on top, it's inaccessible and it's a problem. So we thought you were able to access it. It sounds not like Rebbe. If you were able to access it, so it threw a way that's only Aser Midrabanan, so then it shouldn't be a problem according to Rebbe, because Rebbe says anything that is aser as a gzeira midrabanan is mutter to do bein hashmashos. So bein hashmashos, you'd be able to push whatever it is away. That's only aser to move midrabanan, let's say muktzah. And nevertheless, we said the Erev is not good. So that sounds not like Rebbe. That Rebbe, it sounds like that we hold that anything that's not accessible bein hashmashos, even because of a reason derabanan, is going to be ma'akev. Says Gemara, fil tema ki Rebbe, lo tzricha debay mara v'chatzina. No, you needed a shovel or a hoe, so then in such a case, there you need to dig like choresh, and that would be an isur daraisa, and that's going to be a problem. Utsricha, and the Mishnah told us two different cases. Number one, it told us that it fell outside the tchum. Number two is it fell with bricks falling on top of it. Why do we need two examples of an Erev that's not accessible? Utsricha, the itan is kalkam shun de lesa gabe. That's if it's in skal chutz l'tchum, so it's not considered next to you, then it's a problem. Avol nafal of gal disagabe. Maybe we would say, even though you can't get it, but it's right next to you. Ema lahavi erev, then it's still an erev. Vitan nafal of gal. If it's just the case nafal of gal mishum demichsi, so then it's entirely covered. Avol nisgal goes in and does zika. Maybe it could get blown back. Someone else will bring it back. A goy will bring it back. Umaisele ema havi erev. In such a case, maybe it's considered an erev. Tzricha. So that's why we need both cases. We learned in our Mishnah that if it was burnt, or it was truma that was nitnes, so then in such a case, your heir is no good. Says the Gemara, lama l'tani nisraf. Why does it need to emphasize that it was burnt? L'hodiacha koach the Rabbi Yossi, to teach you the shita of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is a tremendous chiddush. Rabbi Yossi says that right now the Erev is gone, but you're not sure when it was burnt. So even though now it's gone, nevertheless, since you're not sure when it was burnt, you could go l'kula. Even though now it's gone, nevertheless, Rabbi Yossi would be mekel. Tana truma v'nitmes. And also we learn the case of truma that became tami l'hodiach koacha the Rebbe, Meir, to teach us the chiddush of Rebbe Meir, that they were machmir. He said it's chamor gomel, even in a case of where it's truma shenitmes. That is a chiddush. What's the chiddush in regards to that? I might have thought that the truma we knew had a cheskas kosher, it was regular truma, and then you had a suffix what happened on it bein hashmashos. So you have a suffix what happened on it bein hashmashos. Last we knew, it was fine. So we could assume that bein hashmashos, it was okay. But nevertheless, Rebbe Meir says you have to be machmir. Says Gemara, really? Why do you have to be machmir? Besavar Rebbe Meir sfeik lechumra? Does Rebbe Meir really hold that we go lechumra? Now we have a long Mishnah in Mikvos. What's not? We learn in a Mishnah in Mikvos, a very straight, beautiful, profound, but straightforward Mishnah. Tamei shiyari litbal. If you have a tamei that went down to do tefillah, safek taval, safek lo taval. You're not sure he did tefillah. V'afil safek taval. Afilu taval. Safek taval barbom sa, safek lo taval barbom sa. What if we knew he did tefillah, but we're not sure if it had the appropriate shear in the mikvah? V'chein, and similarly, shnei mikvos. You have two mikvos. V'achas yesh b'em arbom sa, v'achas ein b'em arbom sa. One has 40 sa, the other doesn't. V'tala b'achas man, another safek. And he was told, one of them, v'eini yodeh b'ezim et taval. Sfeiko tamei. In all those halachos, you're tamei. Bamed varma. And what's the svara? The svara is he was a tamei when he started. So you have a cheskas tuma. So all of these sveikos, he starts with cheskas tuma. The Mishnah qualifies. Bamed varma murim bituma chamura. But that only, we only have to be machmir if it's a tuma chamura. Like one of the avos hatuma Rashi explains. Avo bituma kalapa, if it's a tuma midrabanan, like someone who ate a chatzi pras of ochel. So then, in such a case, don't she ochel ochel tmeim shasa mashkin tmeim va'abor roish shuvim mayim shuvim. Also, someone who washed in mayim shuvim chazal made gzera. Oshenafal roish shuvim shoshlugim mayim shuvim v'yared litfal. Then, in such a case, he went in safek tavel safek lo tavel afil tavel safek tavel barbam sa safek lo tavel barbam sa. All these repeating the same sveikos, but here where he's a safek midraban. Okay. So then his suffix is tar. Rabbi Yossi is metame. Rabbi Yossi says that the halacha is that he's tame. Let's just finish the raya. So Tanakam is Rabbi Meir holds that suffix tfila by tuma derabanan. He says you could be mekel. So now the question is, Erev is a suffix derabanan. If Eir is a Safik Durabanan, why is it that we say over here that Rabbi Meir is going to be Machmir if you have a Safik Eiriv Techumin? Yes?
When we say, maybe I just understand, Tumay Chamur versus Tumay Tekala, the city says Avatuma. What about someone that's like a Rishon or Shein Tumay? Is that still Chamura because it's the Raisa?
Yeah, anything that's still Raisa, the Gemara is saying, I think. You're right, Rashi for some reason only says Avatuma, but I think the Gemara means the Raisa. It's a good question why Rashi gave that example. Answers the Gemara, there's no Stir Rabbi Meir. Halfway through the Amud, on Lamed Hema Beis, because Remeir Tchumin Daraisa Ninu. Remeir holds that the Chiv Tchumin is a Din Daraisa. Says the Gemara, Vesav Remeir, and that's why by Safek he'll be Machmir, even though by Mikveh he'll be Mako by the Darabanis. Vesav Remeir Tchumin Daraisa, this is a big discussion. Through the Rishonim, how do we paskin? Is a Din Tchumin a Din Daraisa or is a Din Daraban? Vesav Remeir Tchumin Daraisa, but not. Didn't we learn it? Meini yachol lahavlio bezu. So here when it comes to measuring an eruv, a tchum. So now, the Gemara is going to describe their long rashis. I'll just give the basics. When it comes to a tchum, so actually I live in Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph. I'm now in the plain. Mishkafayim, I'm now learning base measurement. Vakshei emes, mishkafayim. To go back home, I have to go up. Now, how would we measure the tchum from Ramat Beit Shemesh to mishkafayim? So if you would measure it as the crow flies, It's actually a lot less than the amount of space you need to walk up, because walking up is space. So, to oversimplify, we are makel in Tchumen that we don't require you to measure every inch of space. That we could fudge a little bit. We're going to see how quickly, shortly. You could fudge a little bit, and it doesn't have to be mamish all the space up the hill. So let's see that. Tnan, im ein yochel avliya bezu. Amar avdosi bar yanay mishum mer shamati shemikadrin baharim. The heter that's called over here with the mountains is mikadrin. And that is that you don't have to measure straight walking up, but rather you measure from the person, from the center of his body where he's standing, to the next place, as Rashi describes. So actually you're measuring less space. Could you actually do this process of mikadrin? You can't use the process of kadrin by measuring from belly to belly of where the person is standing. So what do we see? When it comes to tchumin, he must hold the rabbana. Says the Gemara, loy kasha hadi dehadi rabbe, enechanami. Depends on what is Rebbe Meir himself talking, or he's quoting in the name of his Rebbe. Take a look again at Rebbe Distoy's language. First word on the line was Bar Yanai. Amar Distoy Bar Yanai, Shum Rebbe Meir, Shamati. Rebbe Meir said Shamati. He was quoting from his Rebbe, who could be Mekel. So Rebbe Meir was more Machmir than his Rebbe. His Rebbe held Chumin as Durabonim. But Rebbe Meir himself held his Torah. So they can only tell me, Bezu, Amar of the Son of Rebbe Yonim, Mishum Rebbe Meir, Shamati, I heard, Shemikadim Arm, Shmamina. So that proves our point. Beautiful. Says the Gemara, V'rami Doraisa ad Doraisa Rebbe Meir. But we have a stira in cases of Doraisa. Up until now, we've been saying that according to Rebbe Meir, every Doraisa he's going to go, L'chumra. This now, but I'll quote a Mishnah that doesn't seem to be that way. Noga be'echad belayla ve'eni yodeh. He touched a body at night, and he didn't know im chai im meis, if the body was alive or dead. Ulamacher ishku matzu meis. Remeir is mitaher v'chacham mitami. Remeir holds his tar. Why? She called meis kishatz mitziyasan. Remeir says you assess it at the time that you found it. So what do we see? We see that according to Rebbe Meir, you follow the even by a suffix deraisa. You follow the fact that he was b'cheskas chai. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Mishnasenu shahaya alei asheretz kol bein hashmashos. You're right. If you have a cheskas tahara, then the Erev is going to be fine. However, here we're talking about you found a sheretz on it the entire bein hashmashos. In other words, there was a reisa that the sheretz was already there. So then if the sheretz was already there, presumably the sheretz, there's a reason to believe the sheretz was dead, and therefore it would be metamin. Asks the Gemara, but then you had Rabbi Yossi was mekel. If our Mishnah, Rebbe Meir, is only going to be machmir in a suffix when the sheretz was there throughout Bein HaShemashos, so why in the world is Rabbi Yossi machmir mekel? Why is Rabbi Yossi mekel? Iyachi b'hai lim Rabbi Yossi, suffix erev kosher, Lashem bitmiya. Is Rabbi Yossi going to hold kosher? Says the Gemara, Rav Yosef Tarim Tevai Hacha B'Shtei Kite Eidim Askinan. So we need a noob shot. The Machlok, it's true. Rebbe Meir, even on a Safik Tumah D'Oraisa, follows the Cheskes Tahara. Aye, then why over here is Rebbe Meir Machmir? Because we're talking about a different case. B'Shtei Kite Eidim Askinan. We're talking about two groups of Eidim, Reuven and Shimon, and Yosef and Binyan. Achas Omer Sebaud Yom Nitma. One set of Eidim said that it became Tamim Bod Yom. So when it comes to two Kite Eidim, then you have no Chazakos beforehand. There's no Chazakos. There are two Kite Eidim saying, contradicting each other. Then Rebbe Meir is Machmir, and then Rebbe Yossi is going to be Mako. What exactly is the Machlokas between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yossi over here is a fascinating question. So the Rajba and the Ritva write that Shita Rabbi Yossi is that a trey v'trey is a suffek derabbanan. It's not a sveka deraisa. In other words, trey v'trey, when you have two sets of eidim that contradict each other, you could still rely on the cheskas kashrus. While Rabbi Meir holds that trey v'trey undermines the cheskas kashrus. And this is a big sugya in Yevamis on Daf Lamed Aleph. This b'siyata d'shmaya concludes Maseches Erevin, Daf Lamed Hei.